Faces.
Well, here we are.
Felger.
What?
And Mass.
The whole team suck.
Felger and Mass.
Maybe your part in the back is a little bit loose.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
So you don't seem totally thrilled about the offense's performance today. Why?
I don't think we played anywhere near what our capabilities are. So I think it's good to win, obviously. You know, we got to do a lot better than that. I think just turn the ball over and not take advantage of some opportunities that we had out there. All of us probably look at the game and realize we could have done a lot of things differently.
All right, Brady, not thrilled with how they played on Sunday. How about you? How about Bedard joining us in our Town Fair Tire studios here at the Beasley Media Group in Dorchester? As promised, right back to your phones. Tim in Nashua joins us. Go ahead, Tim.
Greg, two quick things. Hogan, his actual, he was lined up on the side. I don't know if them asking him to do too much, but Brady actually yelled at him in one play. I don't know if you caught it. He was lined up to the right, and he said, further, further, and he kept yelling at him. That's one thing. The other thing, J.J. Watt, he looked lethargic at the beginning. The first half, is he still dinged up or?
Yeah, he's definitely, you know, on his way back. I was in the Texans locker room a little bit after the game, and him and Clowney both talked about, these are guys who barely even played in the preseason. Clowney's always hurt. Watt's come back from a serious injury. Watt said he didn't feel like himself until the second half, and he did play really well in the second half. Hogan, I didn't notice that play specifically. I will say that I bet you there was a third down play. Do you remember the third down crosser to Hogan? Where I couldn't tell if I was listening to Zoe or TV at the time, but somebody,
Romo says someone else would have come out of that a little bit quicker.
He's exactly,
or was it, yes, an option route where there just wasn't a separation? Brady overthrew him, but if he comes out of his break, I don't know if it was a crosser or again he just, it was an outcut.
The one I'm thinking of was a third down pass. It was an in cut. I think Hogan was lined up on the right side, came across, Brady threw it to him. And I think some people alluded to that the throw was a little late. I actually thought that one, Hogan, he was rounded off at the top of his route. And then when he came across, he waited for the ball. That's a circumstance where he needs to come back and help Brady out a little bit. That should have been a catch. It should have converted a third down. That's the type of play that will stick in Brady's craw for like a week and bother him in a press conference. So there were little things like that in this game. And I think, I think Hogan was probably one of the guys that he was a little disappointed in.
I just think he gets exposed anytime you put somebody good on him. That's all. I mean,
Cooks.
Yeah, well, just once you have to elevate him to the first or second receiver, he gets exposed. He's just not that, you know, he's not that good. He's okay, but he's a mismatch guy. You got to get him down on the depth chart against a defensive back, or he's not going to do well.
Juan in Connecticut. Hi, Juan.
I'm just calling because I wanted to see what you guys thought about Patterson. Patterson had this little moment of magic where, you know, he kind of jukes somebody. I mean, do you think that he can grow little by little with Brady?
Let me stop you right there. No, I don't. I think he's a gadget guy, and as such, gadget guys are exceptionally easy to defend. And I think the Pats are going to run into the same thing with Patterson that every team has run into him with, which is you'll break him on a few reverses, but if the defense is waiting for it, then what's he there for? No one's going to respect his ability to get open down the field. I mean, he can run like crazy, so maybe that keeps the safety back a little bit, but I think they're going to run into the same thing with him that they've run into with everybody else. Why do you think they're still out there looking for receivers? You know, because they know that he's not that. He knows that he's not going to factor big in the passing game. That's my opinion.
Look, he's going to break a couple plays, whether it's a slip screen, maybe, you know, one go route down the sideline, that sort of thing. He will make those types of plays this year. But, you know, I think we've been talking about it, the whole summer that, you know, he's very limited in what he can do. I mean, he's going to need time to grow, and Brady's not going to throw it to him down the field if he's not confident in what he's going to do. And Patterson did have some route issues during the preseason, and that's going to affect things.
We've got I'm going to hold off on Carlton for a second. Joe in the car on Bill O'Brien, Bedard's guy. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for having me. I just wanted to comment, Felver, I think you touched on it earlier, just, you know, I think everybody's been patting Bill O on the back way too much. He's got a below 500 career record. He's never beaten the Patriots. He's never risen, you know, to that elite playing level. Not even, you know, you guys bash Tomlin a lot. He's never even risen to that occasion. I think people dwell on the fact that he has managed to coach these subpar teams, you know, with, okay, Deshaun Watson goes down with his leg injury. You know, J.J. Watt goes down with his back injury. Whitney Mercilus out for the whole year. And I think it more or less has to do with the fact that people are patting him on the back for coaching these teams that are just, you know, plagued with the injury.
Yeah, but coach him to what? What was the record last year? They win 4 games?
I think they went 4-12, yeah.
Or something like that. And after Watson got hurt, what did they do? Win 1 game? So it's not like he even overachieves with what he has. Please. Hey, it's getting to the point. It's so bad. The coaching across the league where we say, who's the second guy? And you can't come up with it. Like, you can't name the second best coach. It's not just that. It's not only that. It's not only that I can't give you the second best coach. I think other than Belichick, I hate every single other coach. I think every other coach other than Belichick sucks.
To me, there's one other that I like.
Okay, there's only one that's starting to rise in my estimation, but I know he's extremely flawed and will never win at all.
Who's that?
Andy Reid.
Okay, no, that's not the guy I was thinking of.
Because I see what he does with Mahomes right out of the chute. I see what his disciple does there in Chicago with Trubisky. I'm like, these guys sort of get it. The Reid tree is going to bring you to 9-7, 10-6, and there's sort of like, at least there's that. But he, when you get to it, Andy Reid's going to have his face buried in the play sheet, and the clock's going to be winding down. He's going to lose track of the timeouts. He's going to blow it. So he sucks. I hate him. I don't even like anybody else.
The guy I like is Zimmer. I'm not telling you he's Belichick. I think Zimmer can coach. I do. And I think that Vikings team, the more I think about it, they're the ones you got to watch this year. But anyway, go ahead.
So bad.
I mean, look, I'm not going to defend O'Brien. I still think he's a good coach. To win 2 division titles with, I think he had 8 quarterbacks combined in 2 years. And that's when he wasn't the offensive coordinator, when he's doing his best work. I think that shows you that he could grow into the job if possible. I haven't made him out to be anything better than what he's shown. And I think he's, I don't think you could, the whole, well, he's under 500. How can you do that? I mean, look at the talent that they've had on that team. Brian Hoyer, Ryan Mallett, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Brandon Whedon. I mean,
Ryan
all these quarterbacks.
Mallett.
I mean, come on.
I forgot about Ryan Mallett. Wow.
Carlton in Tampa.
Hi, Osweiler.
Hi, Carlton.
Give me 60 seconds to connect 4 Patriots-related stories making the rounds today and then give Bedard a piece of data or a statistic he's clueless on. First story, Ian O'Connor, quoting Tom Brady, once telling an NFL coach that if Aaron Rodgers had Patriots' offensive scheme and institutional knowledge on opposing defenses, and I emphasize knowledge on opposing defenses, 7,000 yards every year. Story 2, Darren Lee of the Jets admitting the Jets were legally stealing the Lions' offensive signals while they were picking the Lions' quarterbacks off 5 times and ruining Patricia's first game. And then the story making the round today that none of Belichick's proteges, the 6 head coaches in the NFL, or the 5 GMs in the NFL have had any success outside of Bill Belichick. And then finally, Rod Woodson on Undisputed saying that he knew Cleveland coaches when Bill was in Cleveland, and Bill was actively cheating when he was with the Browns. And the statistic that Bedard is clueless on is Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's only the 4th quarterback in the Super Bowl era, 53 years, to throw for 400 yards, 4 touchdowns.
Okay, I got you to 117. That's it. I can't hear about Fitzpatrick. This stuff I'll take. The Ian O'Connor tweet. We're going to get to all these items. The Ian O'Connor tweet about Brady and how he feels about Rodgers. We'll get to that. The Jets stealing signs legally last night. We'll get to that. Bill Belichick's coaches, 0 for 6 for coaches, 0 for 5 on GMs. Not one of them has had success. Does Thomas Dimitrov count?
Yeah.
You don't think Dimitrov's been a success?
I think he has.
Me too.
Yeah, I'd give Dimitrov a thumbs up.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's...
And Pioli's second time. It's him and Pioli in Atlanta.
Yeah, so I think that's not an 0-4. Dimitrov's a success. Name another one. GM or coach?
No, I think that's it.
I
think O'Brien's good.
Oh, God. No, I'm not giving it to you.
Not after Sunday.
Not giving you O'Brien, big fella.
He qualifies as mediocre at best, and I'm not even sure about that anymore.
We play 10 questions with Bedard right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Ooh, I like this.
This is Felger and Bass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, The Sports Hub. You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub. Love, love.
All right, 10 questions around the league, 10 minutes to do it, so we got to be on time. Jimmy gives us buzzer options every week. We pick one. Usually, they're so good, we just do them all. But what do we got this week, James?
Don't you feel stupid?
Standard one. So much for Rust. That one, too.
Felger, how about those OTAs? I guess Brady doesn't need those OTAs.
They might actually be bullpen proof.
Good job, Murray.
This is their year.
There you go, Maz. Coming around on the Sox, yeah, both of you.
Kicked them right in the Murray.
There you go. Right in the... Sorry. Can anyone tell me what that's from?
Yeah, that's hot, hot, hot.
That's Bob Sosie. That's Maz doing backups to the Bob Sosie rejoin. Yes.
None. Zero. Zip. None. B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob? All of them. All right, Jay, all work. Pick one.
Don't you feel stupid?
Now, question number 10. Scariest week one performance. I can be a coach, a player, or a team. Bedard.
For me, it was my Super Bowl pick, the New Orleans Saints, giving up 529 yards, 48 points, and letting Ryan Fitzpatrick complete 21 of 28 at home. That was brutal.
Matt Patricia, oh my God, do you suck. Wow, was that awful. The Jets, rookie quarterback, home game, and you give up defensive scores, special team scores, 50-yard runs. Your team sucks. You suck.
Deshaun Watson, for me, lowest completion percentage as a pro. The league needs this guy to be a star, and he looked lost physically and mentally, and that offensive line is bad, and I don't know if that's going to get better going forward.
Maz, I'll give you another 60 seconds on Patricia.
No, can I give an honorable mention? Sure. My other candidate for the week, Nathan Peterman.
Oh, God, that's right.
5 of 18 for 24 yards, 2 picks, 3 sacks, a rating, Mr. Blutarski, of 0.0. Dude, I'll tell you what. Why don't you call Riley McCarron and see if you guys can open up an auto body shop or something?
They might actually be bullpen proof.
Number 9, the most encouraging week one performance. Coach, player, or team, Bedard?
Have to be the Ravens. I mean, you know, to blow out anybody like that, even the Bills in week one, and I think that was on the road. It was in Buffalo. That was impressive.
I'm going to go with the Bears. I tell you what, I think they're going to be decent this year. I just think there's talent on defense. The quarterback's half decent. Like, to me, I'd say the Bears are going to be a factor. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but the worst team in that division is Detroit.
Patrick Mahomes for me, quarterback Kansas City Chiefs, 4 touchdowns, first real start on the road, and proof yet again that Andy Reid, while not good with a clock, good with quarterbacks. McNabb, Alex Smith, Vic, and now this kid, it looks like.
Great points all the way around, Murray.
This is their year.
Number 8, should there be ties in the NFL?
I don't have a problem with it. I mean, if you can't score in 15 minutes in overtime, you deserve a tie.
No ties. If it comes to it, put the ball on the 35-yard line, let's go. College tiebreaker.
I was going to say, how should we break it?
No, yes, there should be ties, because seemingly people get more mad about these than losses. Just for the sports schadenfreude aspect of it, yes, ties.
Should a tie allow you to survive
or
your breakup?
Or you can elect to kick a 50-yard field goal for 4 points.
I love that. Oh, wait a minute. I mean, I would say if they're tied up for 15 minutes, line the guy up for a 57-yard field goal, and let's do it.
Absolutely.
Let's get out of there.
To me, there's got to be a way to do it. Again, I'll take the college tiebreaker. Fine. It's the same for both sides.
Those last forever, too. I would just, honestly, Wiggy, but put the ball on the 57 and let's kick. And the first one to miss, let's get out of here.
Shut up,
myself. Yeah, I'm. Believe me, I'm not. What was I going to say? Yeah, never mind. Next.
None. Zero. Zip. None.
I don't know why that makes me laugh. Bedard, what should be the level of concern over the Garoppolo performance?
None. I mean,
should be no concern?
Attaboy, Greg.
No. I mean, they're a rebuilding team. They were on the road against probably the best defense in the league. I mean, he's one of my fantasy quarterbacks, and I started, and I knew I was going to get anything out of him. You knew what was going to happen. I mean, look, never, ever, ever overreact to week one or now through week four. I mean, look,
week four.
Yes, it's like the first month of the season.
Okay.
It like really doesn't mean all that much.
Got it.
You know, if we use the same rationale, everybody would have said Tom Brady was done last year when they got waxed at home against the Chiefs. So I'm not going to overreact to one game. You know, they got Detroit, KC, I don't know who the third team is.
You can't read your writing.
And then the Cardinals.
Cardinals, okay. Yeah.
They have that stretch coming up right before the Packers. Let's see what he does here, and then we'll get a better, you know, sort of view on where he is.
I personally have never felt better about the guy. My two cents. Mari?
Six. A guy with a softness history, considering he could have played here with that shoulder thing and didn't and elected not to. Shying away from contact. Throwing the pick six. I don't want to get hit. Six. And I know he has a lack of weapons, but a six. And on the comedy level, a hard 10. Nice purr, man.
Number six. If you could redraft the 2018 first round, give me your top five picks, Bedard.
I'm not doing it. It's one game. I mean, those guys...
Hold on, play along.
What do you mean you're not doing it?
No. I mean, I'm not going to redraft after one game.
So you would have the same... So, I mean, what would have been your order in the top five?
Well, other than the only guy I would move up after this week is Denzel Ward after he had two picks. He was awesome for Cleveland against the Steelers, and he's the only reason why Cleveland tied that game and almost beat the Steelers.
I'm not asking you necessarily to do it after one week, although you could. Did you have a different order? Would you have drafted the way the league drafted?
I didn't have a problem with the way they drafted.
I'd go Sam Darnold number one. There was enough there to make me say, okay, like, you know, maybe you got something there. And if you have a quarterback in that league that might have something, you take him number one. Two, Denzel Ward, Cleveland, he was dynamite. Three, I love the linebacker with the Bears, Roquan Smith. Fourth, Saquon Barkley. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, he looks dynamite. He really does. I'm not a huge running back guy either, more than you, less than him. But nonetheless, he looked dynamite. And I like this safety. A very limited sample that the Texans have. This Justin Reed guy that was covering Gronk one-on-one out there.
You're going to draft him five overall?
Yeah, I would.
Love it, man.
Just kind of different.
See, that's how you play the game, Bedard.
Different permutations for me. I'm dug in on Mayfield, so I have Mayfield one, moving up Darnold to two, Denzel Ward three, Barkley drops to four, and then Bradley Chubb, who had a good game for Denver, he stays at five.
Okay, so the whole point of this exercise is the New York Giants are sitting there with a chance for Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield. Let's see. And they take a running back. I don't care how good he is. I don't care if he's Barry Sanders. You take a run.
You don't care if he's Barry Sanders.
Right. Because it's not going to win. Unless you have a quarterback, you're not going to win. Period. How many playoff games did Barry Sanders win? I think it was one.
One?
I think there was one. He made the playoffs like two or three times and won one game. So it's just, and I'll give you a litany of those guys. You've got a chance to draft the next quarterback and you draft a running back? Oh, my God. Oh, and especially in New York, if Sam Darnold goes on to be the next big thing for the Jets, then the Giants have got it. Like, oh, that is so
delicious. It's the Jets. I don't think they have to worry about much.
So delicious. We'll get to Darnold in a second. So much for Rust. Okay, number five, our most recent in a series. Give me the biggest tool bag NFL commentator, week one edition. There was a lot of new faces, a lot of new voices, a lot of new people up in the booth. Give me the biggest tool bag of week one.
This guy isn't necessarily a tool bag, but I'm just tired of listening to him. Dan Fouts. He doesn't add anything to any of the broadcasts.
Dan Fouts. Oh. He sucks. He has sucked for years. I'm not even sure how he's still doing games. He blows. Seriously, get rid of Fouts. And if any of you name that woman who did the play-by-play last night, I can't remember her name.
Beth Mowins.
Beth Mowins. You suck too. I thought she was pretty good. I thought she did a good job.
I am naming her coworker Brian Greasley. Brian Greasy, can't even say it correctly, who's a useless bore. And how does a 43-year-old man not know New Jack City when she's making that reference? That's what the Jets refer to themselves, the secondary. They're New Jack City. Well, I don't know what you're talking about, Beth.
Oh, but he is a drip. What a bore. But you know what? Beth Mullins?
Mowins.
Mowins.
Mowins. You know what she had going on a little bit last night, Murray?
That's an interception. That's a pick. For Sam Darnold of the New York Jet. Tea kettle's done. Tea's done, Beth.
Because I think they try and put a little bit of a nougie shing on, you know.
Or it could be new teeth. That's a new dentures.
Yeah, Michigan, you know, yeah.
There's Derek Carback to pass. And I think that naturally brings in the...
Derek Carback to pass.
Oh, yeah, the UP.
It's such a bad... start for Matt Patricia and his Detroit Lion.
That was Greasy with her last night?
Yeah. I thought so, yeah.
Oh, he blows too.
Next.
Kicked him right in the Murray.
Number four, last night saw a true rarity in the NFL. We only see it once or twice a year now. Only once or twice, and it used to be routine. What am I talking about? Bedard gets the first crack at it. What am I talking about, people? What was odd last night that we never see anymore?
Dirt infield.
Bing. Yeah! Yep. Dirt infield. Remember when we were kids, every other game was on a dirt infield?
Yeah, sure.
Jack Murphy Stadium.
All over yep. Jack Murphy Stadium when the Packers played a county stadium they used to put it down.
Shea.
Cleveland, Shea, Oakland, all over the place. Used to have dirt fields all over the place, and this is a jumping off point. I miss those days. I miss muddy fields, the baseball diamond field. Like, there used to be conditions. Now it's all, you know, sometimes like Pittsburgh or one of these grass fields may get a little wonky. But
oh,
either,
Pittsburgh can get bad.
Okay, but for the most part, either you're in a dome or they have that field turf or the grass just holds up like Lambeau. They replace it in December. It's not even, you know, you don't even get the frozen tundra anymore. There's no field conditions anymore. I miss it. A bonus trivia question. What was the second to last stadium where we played on the sand, on the diamond turf?
Ooh, good one.
Come on. Not that hard.
It's Jack Murphy Stadium.
Nope. Maybe.
Qualcomm?
Nope.
Was it Miami?
Miami.
Oh, very good.
I think it was Miami. I think Miami was the second to last one where we played on. See, I pay attention to crap like this.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob? Number three, Carolina nearly shut out Dallas. Does that say more about the Panthers or the Cowboys, big boy?
No question, the Cowboys. Their offense is terrible. Oh, yeah. So Dez was the problem there, I guess. I mean, it's basic. Garrett doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't let Linehan do what he really wants to do. It's bad there.
I mean, 100% Dallas. Me too. I looked at that and I went, oh, God. Like, other than Ezekiel Elliott, what do you do now? Like, you know, to me, it's all about Dallas. They're not going to be able to score this year.
2 of 11 on third down. Offensive line looked like a mess. Dak Prescott looked awful. Like, it's the offense. And who's he throwing to outside of
Fleming play?
You know, I think he did. And Cole Beasley, outside of him, who do they have at wide receiver? It's about the Cowboys.
Okay. Resounding unanimous decision there.
Don't you feel stupid?
Number two, thumbs up or thumbs down on an 18-game schedule, Greg?
With two byes, I'm thumbs up.
Attaboy.
As long as
Attaboy.
You get rid of two preseason games, I'm good with it.
Attaboy.
I told you, I'm thumbs down. I mean, because I like the fact that every game means something, and I think you'll see more teams manage the schedule like a long haul if it's an 18-gamer.
Down simply because evil lizards like Jerry Jones and his ilk are just clamoring for it, and they're lusting for this thing so badly, so screw him and the rest of them. I'm down.
Two resounding thumbs up for me.
I'm not doing it.
Okay, here's the last question. Number one, the Jaguars this week. Bats are down in Jacksonville. Does Jacksonville deserve an NFL franchise? Should the Jaguars be in Jacksonville? And if not, where should they be, Greg?
They do not deserve a team, and they should get it over with and just move to London, and let's get on with it.
100%. 100%. Give me that 9 a.m. window almost, you know, at least half the season. Even if it's the Jaguars I'm in 100%. Sorry, Mess.
The answer is no on Jacksonville, and I am open to suggestions, but I would try a million places. Oklahoma City, Portland. I'd go to Boise. I'd go to Des Moines before I went to London. You can kiss my ass with London.
Hard no in Jacksonville. It's the worst part of Florida with the worst kind of Floridians, those redneck idiots. So get it out of there and move it to Portland, as you suggested, Maz, the 25th biggest TV market in America. But it's such a distinct American sport, and this is where I'm going to come off as an ugly American. Keep football in America.
London.
Yeah, ugly
please.
Americans.
Tea and crumpets.
Xenophobes.
You God. Just want the early kickoff.
I times. Sure do. Thus concludes 10 questions, our premier edition. To your phones, couple open lines, 617-779-0985. Football with Bedard with you right after the update.
Felger and Maz.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
They go quick, second and 8 on the fake. Garoppolo has it blocked. He's got a man, Kittle. Kittle could have run from here to Duluth, but he couldn't hang on.
How well designed was that play? Exceptionally well. They had to run to the left side on the last play. They faked it and bootlegged right and took everyone's attention opposite and then threw back to where they had made the fake, and Kittle doesn't execute at the end of it. Everything's drawn up perfectly, but you've got to make the catch.
Big opportunity miss and a 3rd and 8. Blitz coming. Garoppolo sees it, fired, intercepted, and a clear route to the end zone for Mike Hughes. Touchdown.
know this pick will go against Jimmy Garoppolo, but his receiver fell down in the flat. Never had a chance to fight or compete for the football. And Mike Hughes, the rookie out of UCF, takes full advantage of it for his first NFL touchdown.
So think about this. Instead of a touchdown potentially to Kittle on that beautifully designed play, he drops it. The very next play, receiver falls. Mike Hughes, the rookie, with the touchdown.
Maz insists on running that play-by-play. Did you keep up with it? Why, Maz? Why?
Because I think that was Jimmy Garoppolo's day in a nutshell, and some of it was his fault. But also, those plays literally happened in succession. Very little was edited out there. It all happened in that span of time. He had his tight end, Kittle, open down the left sideline. He dropped it out there for him, and the guy dropped the ball. I mean, he just didn't catch the ball. It was unbelievable. They would have had a huge game. So they go back to the huddle. They run the next play. The Vikings blitz. There's pressure on Garoppolo's face. He turns away from it, floats one out there, pick six the other way. And that's the way it went. And I'm not defending the throw. He didn't have a good game. The second and third picks were worse. They were worse. The thing that should have bothered you about the first pick, if you're a Niners fan, is that in the face of pressure, Garoppolo turned away and just stepped backward. He looked scared. He looked scared on that throw. But his receivers suck. They do. They suck. Garcon dropped a touchdown in the end zone. This guy, Kittle, didn't catch that ball down the sideline. Like, they got a problem there. They got to find guys for him to get the ball to.
Feel better, Mess?
A little bit.
Here's John in Brighton, back with Greg Bedard here. What do you got, John?
Hey, so with all the talk of Josh taking over after Bill, I think one of the logical next things to think is who's going to be the offensive coordinator. And with Chad O'Shea being the wide receivers coach, I just think, in my opinion, what's been happening with the wide receiver group over the last 12 to 18 months, bringing in a lot of talent, first round talent, you know, 15, 21st pick in the draft. A lot of guys that weren't coached well in other places. I think Chad O'Shea's being pretty much groomed and auditioned to see if he can take over that offensive coordinator role.
Well, so just let me stop you, John. Hopefully when Josh takes over, he doesn't call the plays like the thing we were just discussing.
Did he do it in Denver?
I think he did.
I think he did. Something tells me he did. But, I mean, it's hard to, much harder to have a full grasp on the clock, offense, defense, special teams, flow of the game, the whole thing, when you're buried in your play sheet, when you're calling plays from one side of the ball or the other. You know Josh will want to do it, but if he's learned from Belichick, if he's learned from all these other guys that have failed, he hands it off to O'Shea, and he's the CEO of the whole thing. Do you think he has that in him, Greg?
Yeah, I think he's been groomed for that. I think that if Josh did leave, I think that Chad would have been the next offense coordinator. He calls plays during the preseason. You know, I also think it's not out of the realm of possibility that if it is Josh, then, like, I think it's his brother Ben has been a coordinator on the college level and done a, you know, he's known as being a pretty good coach. I assume he would come on in some sort of capacity. But, you know, I'm sure Josh has ideas for what he's going to do.
Okay, here's a correction on something we've been saying about the Bill O'Brien timeout and the challenge. Go ahead, Stephen Worcester.
Yeah, I had a quick question for Maz. You keep saying that within the 2 minutes, if Bill O'Brien had called the timeout and they signaled to challenge the play, he would get that timeout back. Why do you keep saying that?
Because I thought I read that in a story yesterday.
I don't think it's true. I mean, now that I think of it, I mean, I never considered it because he's not challenging himself. He's just calling a timeout so the league will challenge. So it's not a technical challenge, so why would you get your timeout back? But either way, I mean, the caller might be right. Like, he might not have gotten his timeout back. Who cares? There was 40 seconds left, and they've got three in their pocket. They're on defense. He doesn't need them.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
I read it in a story yesterday. Maybe the story was wrong.
Either way, too. I mean, it's sort of easy just to think that way. You call timeout. The challenge goes to in your favor. You get the timeout back, but you're not technically challenging, so you don't get it back. Fine. Who cares? He goes in the locker room with two timeouts versus three. What's the diff? They had all the timeouts in the world.
No, he should have been willing to give up the yardage there. There were 40 seconds left. The ball ended up on what, the 31? Was it? I think it was on the 30-yard line, thereabouts. And he keeps saying that he wanted to go into the half down 14-6. They were giving up three no matter what. Like, what's he talking about?
Kerry and Hudson for Bedard. Go ahead, Kerry.
Hi, guys. Greg, there was a sequence in Sunday's Pats game. I don't know if it was the second or the third quarter.
Kerry, speak into your phone. Hold it like a pizza and be quicker.
Okay, there you go. So in one drive for the other guys,
Gary, I can't. Listen, we've gone over this, okay? You got to be quick. You got to be ready to go. And you can't talk on a Bluetooth cord thingy. Or you can't talk on it like it's a phone. It's not a phone. It's a slice of pizza. You hold the bottom to your mouth, and you don't get to listen unless you put the speaker function. And that's how you talk on a cell phone.
Right. Just don't eat it.
Jim in Beverly. Hi, Jim.
Hey, guys. Hey, Greg. I don't know if you mentioned it or not, but I was impressed with Bentley, with Juwan Bentley, the linebacker. Man, he was on the field. He was on like 51 snaps. This guy was all over the field. I really like this guy. And real quick on Jason Garrett. Jason Garrett sucks. I've hated him for years, and I'm a Cowboy fan. What's the chance he cans him midseason?
There's a chance, but
I doubt it.
Jerry just wants his puppet in there.
Yes.
I mean, that's all that he wants, and that's what Garrett is. Give me something on Juwan Bentley. Legit?
Juwan Bentley played really well in this game, and I think, you know, if there's any reason to be excited about this or another reason to be excited about this defense, it's him. And, look, he was a little bit out of control at times in this game. He gets his hands out there, you know, flying around. But there was a play early in the game. There was an in-cut where he it was the third down, and Deshaun Watson should have hit the tight end. I think it was the first third down. And the tight end was in the seam. He was open. He should have made the pass. It should have been completed. And Bentley didn't play it perfect, but the way he flipped his hips and was able to change direction, I'm telling you, if that was a Landon Roberts or Dante Hightower or anybody like that, it would have taken him 10 minutes to do that. Bentley did it quickly and was still in position to make the play. And, like, that's the type of play where you're like, okay, this kid's got something. I mean, they've really hit on something with that kid. I don't know how they unearthed him, but he is damn good.
God bless. And that's one of the reasons they have a chance to be better.
Yes.
A guy like that.
Oh, God, I'll take any linebacker you can get your hands on. The other thing.
Yeah, he went flying into a couple gaps, too. Instinctive. You know, wait till he rounds out his game. He's still a young pup. He doesn't know what he's doing. Wait till he does.
Yeah, I can't tell you about his hips. I don't know about any of that. What I can tell you is that when he gets his hands on someone, he's strong. There were guys getting away from him. He was still able to bring him down. He looks like he can tackle.
Okay, so one more question. One more segment of calls for Bedard. This is your last talk to Greg at 617-779-0985. We'll also take a quick look ahead to Doug Marrone and the Jaguars coming up this week, so don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
But when you make a point of something, and coaches make a point of it, and coaches make a point of it, when that first opportunity comes and you're not able to prevail on that opportunity, then you know what? Then we have to go back out there and go about our business again, maybe with greater desire, greater sense of I don't know exactly what the word I'm looking for.
Urgency?
No, that wouldn't be the word. Hold on. I'll come up with it. Just more of a urgency is the word I'm looking for. A greater sense of urgency.
That is the greatest ever. You almost lost to that guy in the AFC Championship game at home. That's Doug Marrone, coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
No. Bill O'Brien's buddy.
No, that's not it. It'll come to me. Sorry, go ahead, go.
The clips on YouTube, when you actually watch him do it too, there's a little more emphasis. In case you weren't paying attention to the rejoin, I just feel like playing it again because it is simply one of the greatest things I've ever heard. This happened back when Marrone was coach of the Buffalo Bills. How do I never heard this before? It was last year for the AFC Championship game when I'm looking for sound of Marrone just to make fun of him, really. And, well, this just fell into our lap, and it's like, listen to this. Listen.
But when you make a point of something, and coaches make a point of it, and coaches make a point of it.
Stop right there. You should know you're in trouble right there. Like, something's coming. What? And yeah, coaches make a point of it, and coaches. Jimmy, two times there.
But when you make a point of something, and coaches make a point of it, and coaches make a point of it.
Right.
When that first opportunity comes, and you're not able to prevail on that opportunity, then you know what? Then we have to go back out there and go about our business again. Maybe with greater desire, greater sense of
what is the word? Hold on, stop. What is the word?
I don't know. Urgency, maybe?
What would the word be?
I don't know exactly what the word I'm looking for.
Urgency?
No, that wouldn't be the word.
What is it?
Hold on. I'll come up with it. Just more of a urgency is the word I'm looking for. A greater sense of urgency.
I love this guy.
I'm sorry. I just...
He is a boom.
That's how we get into, that's how we get into the Jacksonville Jaguars. He actually came close last year, and I thought they had a great plan. They had a brilliant plan last year in Pittsburgh. Like, they did a great job of getting the most out of, I'm going to say Blaine Gabbert, Blake Bortles, their quarterback there, with sort of throwing on first down, a lot of sort of misdirection, just throws he can make. Like, they absolutely tore Pittsburgh apart in that divisional game, torched them, and then came here and were on the way to doing that. There were 20 points going to the fourth quarter, and then he turtled, he froze, his sphincter tightened, and he just started handing it to Leonard Fournette right up the gut on every first down and put himself in second and long, and that was it, allowed Brady to come back. But that guy almost had half a clue against you, Greg. What are your thoughts on Jacksonville this year?
Well, I think the Fournette injury is big. I mean, I doubt that he's going to play this week. I mean, with the hamstring, I mean, I'm sure they're going to play it along and maybe he might give it a go, but I don't think he's going to be effective. And why would you burn him in week two with a bum hamstring? And TJ Yeldon is not a guy that's going to scare you, but you know, that defense is awesome. I mean, you know, we'll see where the Patriots are as far as, you know, their new look and Tom making the weapons work. I mean, not only because the Jaguars are good, but also that there's film. You know, I talked to a personnel guy coming into the week one, and he's like, I have no idea what the Patriots are going to do, how Josh is going to manage these guys. Now it's on film. Now they know they actually have to not ignore James Devlin when he's out in the flat. So, you know, there will be a lot of adjusting going on. But this is, I mean, Jalen Ramsey, you know, the guys up front for Jacksonville, that
Miles
line is
Jack,
Malik Jackson, and what's his name? Ngakoue, that's his name. That guy is awesome. Belichick chatted him up at the joint practices last year. I think Belichick loves that guy.
Yeah, everyone was lusting after him with those joint practices, I remember.
Yeah, he's awesome. So they're all going to get tested, and I think this is going to be a really good game, and that's going to be, you know, it's an outdoor stadium, but that's going to be a hornet's nest. How many big games do they have like this down there?
Oh, my God. None.
I mean, I don't know what the over-under in this game is.
Late game, too.
But I sort of instinctively say under.
No, I think it's a Pats by a point. I think they're favored.
I mean, because this is, yeah, it's their home opener, right?
Yeah, but Maz wants the total.
Yeah, I just think that the Patriots are going to have a hard time scoring down there. Jacksonville, I think, had the fifth best scoring defense of the league last year at home, 16 points a game. Philly was number one. But Jacksonville was, you know, right there. They were, you know, third in the league overall. They got all kinds of talent on defense.
So look.
And you think Tom Coughlin is going to sit there and let Rob Gronkowski run off the line without anybody, you know, free releases?
So Coughlin's a good one. Like, I think that's sort of a hidden factor there. But let's see. I mean, on paper, Jacksonville has some things that can give you some trouble. What if they go out and play? I mean, so does Houston. And they played like absolute ass. So, I don't know. I'm not going to talk up the Jaguars. They have some things that can give you some trouble. But would it surprise you one bit if Doug Marrone is completely out to lunch? His team lacks a certain, what's the word I'm looking for?
Urgency.
Or they just have a bad
plan. I'll come up with it. just more of a urgency.
So, I mean, would it surprise you at all if Blake Bortles goes back to pass on the first play and throws a balloon over the middle and Daron Harmon intercepts it, the Pats are up 7-0 inside of 2 minutes? Like, would that surprise anyone?
No, wouldn't shock me.
I'm going to reserve judgment
on
that.
Sounds like someone's getting ready to downplay a win, potentially.
I'm just telling you that, no, if Jacksonville plays well and you go down there and beat them, that's a good win. But if they play like complete ass, which is entirely possible, there's still Jacksonville, and it's still Blake Bortles, and it's still Mr. Urgency Doug Marrone. Sorry.
So I think at a minimum, though, and Greg, you tell me, I just think at a minimum you're going to get that defense. Like, and I don't know what Bortles is going to do, whether or not they'll have Fournette. I have no idea. I think the Patriots offense is going to have its hands full Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, if the Patriots can put up points against this defense, I will say Jacksonville's weakness on defense, their safeties. I don't like them. Barry Church, the former Cowboy.
He's the one who took out Gronk last year.
Yes. And Tayshaun Gibson, not a fan of those guys. They did not play well in week one. So, you know, it's going to be, are we going to see a lot of Gronk in the seam against these guys? I mean, you know, I don't want to see that too much if I'm a Patriots fan. But They might have to do that because that's the weakness on this team.
Okay, Greg, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
All right, sounds good, guys.
Everybody out there, give his site, Boston Sports Journal, a subscription. It's worth it. It's the best football analysis in town, bar none. I'm confident.
Hold on. I'll come
okay,
up with
Doug,
it.
Sorry.
just more of a urgency.
No commercials. An update. There's breaking news on the Bruins today. There was breaking news on the Patriots today. They both made moves. You'll hear the details right here with Murray's update. When we come back, we get to your calls and our impressions around the league, which we'll finally get to, and an incredible stat from week one that we'll give you right after this as well.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.